Good evening. In the news tonight, 4 years after the death of Romarley Graham, the family is still seeking justice. President Barack Obama delivers his State of the Union address this evening. Details emerge about the rape of the teen in Brooklyn. Activists are set to march on Governor Cuomo's State of the State address tomorrow. And New York City officials unveil a new system to tackle gun-related violence. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Tuesday, January 12, 2016. It's been 4 years since Romarley Graham was shot down and killed in his own home. Francelot Graham is Romarley's dad.
As the video clearly shows, that on February 2, 2012, my son Romarley Graham was walking down in 229th Street in the Wakefield section of the Bronx, heading to his house, clearly walking, not running, opened the door, came in. A few seconds later, you saw guys in plain clothes running towards the house, start kicking the door, constantly kicking the door. Then members of that same team walked to the back of the house, forced their way in. At all times, gun was drawn. They never put in their gun, and the video clearly showed that. So they walk in, went to the back of the yard, forced their way in the house, and that's the last I know of. Then minutes later, you seen them bringing down my son's body, throwing it on a stretcher. My son was dead. They had no warrant. Romarley wasn't running. He wasn't doing anything, committed no crime, had no weapon, had no weed, nothing. But he's dead. So that's why we're pursuing justice. And also on the 2nd of February of this year, we will remember what they did to him.
The DOJ, the U.S. Department of Justice, a year ago said it was undertaking a full investigation. It's been 2 years since it began reviewing the shooting. The family, advocates, and elected officials held a news conference today in front of the DOJ in downtown Manhattan. Romarley's mom, Constance Malcolm, says the case is stalled.
We need answer to why our son was killed, because as of from February 2nd till now, whether from the local DR or the DOJ, we still haven't got no real answer to what happened.
WBAI News contacted Preet Bharara's office and was given a press release from a year ago, which says the office is in contact with Romarley's family. Not true, says Malcolm. The family this month is continuing to pressure the DOJ.
Yes, so on the 19th, we're going to have the youth. We asked all the youth to come out to support because, you know, it's for a fact that most of these killings are youth and black youth. So we're going to have a rally at the DOJ office on the 19th. I believe it's at 5:30. But they can follow me on Instagram or Facebook, and they get more updates from what we're doing. We have a Romarley event page on there, Romarley's Call. They could go on that, and they know what's going on. You also have me, Little Miss Constance Malcolm, on Facebook. You can, you know, request friend, or you can follow me on there. And we also have Instagram, Little Miss Constant _1. That's Instagram. And then we have Twitter, Rise Up for Romarley.
Romarley Graham's mom, Constance Malcolm. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
About 11 o'clock this morning, we arrested a Travis Beckford. He's a 17-year-old male.
New York City police say a 15 is in custody in the suspected gang rape of the 18-year-old woman at a Brooklyn playground. The NYPD's chief of detective, Robert Boyce, gives the timeline.
About 9 o'clock in Osborne Park, in the 73 on Hageman Avenue, we had an individual who ran up to two police officers, a father, and said that his daughter was maybe being murdered. They immediately put it over the radio, and they all went to Osborne Park, where they found that individual. She was crying. She was visibly upset. She had cuts and bruises on her body. We removed her to Kings County Hospital. As I just said, two detectives from a Special Victims Squad responded 15 minutes later and spoke to her. Everything she said seemed credible, and the father's narrative was exactly the same. Five individuals, one with a gun, at gunpoint rape. At this point, we went back to the location and we found articles of clothing of hers nearby in that park. The next day, we were able to obtain video depicting these individuals leaving the park at around 8:30 at night, and then coming back about 5 minutes later. So it was wherever they went quickly, We then did a canvas there. That's where we came up with the grocery store of those individuals. We put that out Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon, at some point, two individuals with their parents surrendered at the 7-3 precinct. We took statements from them, and we began our investigation there. Because of our investigation, we identified another three persons. One of the other persons surrendered at the 6-9 precinct later Sunday night, and another was on a Crime Stopper tip into our Crime Stoppers hotline. We identified him, and we arrested him in Brooklyn. Today marks the fifth person at 11 o'clock that we have arrested for. We're speaking to both, all five of them. Three of the five made statements to us, and we'll go from there.
Concern has been about the delay in letting the city know about the attacks. Bill de Blasio.
In this instance, again, I think the process of informing the public and the community should have been clearer and earlier.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. President Barack Obama plans to call attention to his administration's successes both in the past year and throughout his two terms in office during his last State of the Union address this evening. The past year has seen a nuclear deal with Iran, diplomatic ties with Cuba, a global climate pact, and unemployment at 5%. Obama is expected to speak about what he feels the U.S. can and should aspire to. Meanwhile, GOP hopeful Ben Carson is getting on the us versus them bandwagon driven by his rival Donald Trump. Carson, who is way down in the polls at about 8%, is criticizing the president for Democrats who invited members of CARE, the Council on Islamic Relations, to attend the speech. Carson wants the group investigated because he says they're not pro-American.
We want to take a stance, a united stance, and show that we will not tolerate this hatred rhetoric towards the Muslim community or any community for that matter.
Congressmember Grace Meng from Queens has invited Muslim NYPD Lieutenant Adil Rana, president of the NYPD Muslim Officer Society, as her guest this evening to the State of the Union.
There has been a lot of hate talk, a lot of xenophobic rhetoric going on and coming from the top levels of political conversations in our country. I'm bringing a guest who is a police officer. He happens to be Muslim American. He is president of the NYPD's Muslim Officers Association, and he has also served as a veteran in the U.S. Army. He served at Ground Zero after 9/11, and I know that our country is nervous as we, work on combating the threat of ISIS. And I just want to bring a guest like Lieutenant Rana to show that our country is strong, we're resilient, we can tackle this threat, but we will not allow our country to be torn apart by this hateful rhetoric.
Queens Congressmember Grace Meng. This evening, President Obama will leave a seat open in the First Lady's box to remember victims of gun violence. Today in New York City, Bill de Blasio announced a new system to tackle gun-related violence. Several thousand in a city of millions are the bad actors who commit gun violence, says de Blasio. With the new system called Project Fast Track, firearm possession will be sent to one of two dedicated gun courtrooms in State Supreme Court in Brooklyn. A pair of judges will oversee arraignments, indictments, and trials over there. And there's a new gun violence suppression division within the NYPD with 200 officers focusing on police investigations related to illegal firearms as well as shootings and gangs. The push comes after police officers complained last year that some gun-carrying suspects were not jailed after arrest. Many received low bail or were released on their own recognizance, only to be arrested again later. Councilmember Rory Lantzman is chair of the Courts and Legal Services Committee of the New York City Council.
This effort swims in two streams that are a priority for the city right now. One is to speed up trials. We're all familiar with the tragic Kalief Browder case. This administration has embarked on a number of initiatives to speed up trials because that is in the interest of the defendants as well as the public. And the second is, as the commissioner mentioned and others mentioned, we want to see better policing in New York City. I mean, the problem with Stop, Question, Frisk was a sense that people, particularly people of color, were being stopped and questioned without adequate reason. I mean, the 2005 to 2009 gun court initiative ended up speeding up trials, but oddly, there were as a higher rate of dismissals and a lower rate of indictments because there was not at the same time a commensurate investment in the quality of developing the evidence in these gun cases. So we oversee the courts, we oversee the legal services community. I think that everybody has an interest in making trials speedy, not irresponsibly speedy, but speedy, and also in our police force developing evidence in a fairer, a better, more efficient way. That's in everybody's interest, including the defendants.
In other news, environmentalists say they'll march to Governor Cuomo's State of the State address in Albany tomorrow. This to demand accelerated action on climate change. Andrea Sears reports.
Hundreds of activists from across the state will be on hand to demand that the state do more to move away from reliance on fossil fuels. Mark Dunley of the 100% Renewables Now New York campaign says the governor has a pretty good environmental record, but needs to do more.
What we want the governor to do is to commit the state to move to 100% clean renewable energy as soon as possible. But we also need them to get serious that the fossil fuel era is over with.
He points out that while the governor has made renewable energy a major policy priority, the state is also subsidizing some coal-fired power plants, as well as encouraging the construction of new fossil fuel infrastructure. There are plans to build several new pipelines to carry gas and oil from hydraulic fracturing across the state. But according to Dunley, the pipelines not only encourage continued reliance on fossil fuels, they cause environmental damage themselves.
And we think that he should say this type of construction does not meet the water quality standards that we have in New York State, and that we're going to say no more to these pipelines. We want a clean energy future.
The governor is also trying to keep the money-losing Fitzpatrick nuclear power plant running as a source of local tax revenue and jobs. But Dunley counters that a full commitment to renewable energy will create a large number of jobs in New York.
To put more solar panels on people's roofs, to build community shared renewables, to do geothermal. And that is why clean energy is really the path to full employment.
Conservation groups say the agreement in Paris to keep global temperatures from rising more than 1.5 degrees means the efforts to curb climate change must be vastly accelerated. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Tuesday, January 12, 2016. The news was produced with help from Andrea Sears at the New York News Connection and Reggie Johnson at WBAI's Brooklyn Studios. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. Thanks for listening.